Shares of Canada-based Aurora Cannabis jumped today on the news that the company is talking with Coca-Cola to make marijuana-infused beverages. A month from today, Canada will become the first industrialized nation in the world where recreational marijuana is legal. Canada's parliament gave it the green light earlier this June. And Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has said October 17th will be the first day of official sales. Let's bring in Anne McClellan. From 2003 to 2006, she was the Deputy Prime Minister of Canada, and she more recently chaired the task force that paved the way for legalization in Canada. Anne McClellan, welcome, and thanks so much for talking with us.
It's my pleasure to be here.
We're a month out now on a major milestone for your country, but really also for the world. Is Canada ready for legal recreational marijuana?
Well, I guess it depends who you talk to. There are those who would suggest that we're not ready. But I think it's relative. And I do believe that the government of Canada is ready. We have had in place, actually, under our medicinal regime, licensed producers. The government of Canada knows how to license producers, license manufacturers of product. The government of Canada has put in place the marketing, the advertising regulatory regime, the quality control regime around production and manufacturing. So I think it's pretty clear the federal government probably is in a generally good place. I think where you start to see concerns being raised is in relation to the variation among the provinces and territories. The government of Canada only has jurisdiction over production and manufacturing. And in fact, wholesaling of product, the retail market, which of course so many people are focused on and speculating about, is within provincial and municipal jurisdiction.
Right. So I'm looking at a list of the provinces around the country. And, you know, the age that a person can legally smoke differs from province to province. Where you can smoke differs from province to province. There is a bunch of different rules. Do you think that will cause problems?
There is no question, and we anticipated the fact that there would be provincial variation and municipal variation. And in fact, provinces will learn from each other. Municipalities will learn from each other. You mentioned the age. In this country, we have variable age for legal alcohol consumption. I realize in the U.S., I think it's pretty standard at 21. Mm-hmm. In this country, my province, Alberta, it's 18. In some other provinces, it's 19.
And same will go for marijuana, right?
Absolutely. And in fact, that doesn't surprise anyone, and it shouldn't cause any problems for anyone, because you know the legal age of drinking in Ontario is 19. It makes an awful lot of sense to have the legal age for the consumption of cannabis 19.
How will the excise tax work? 10%, it goes back to both the local and the federal government. How will the money be used?
I think the federal government and our Prime Minister, Mr. Trudeau, has been very clear about the fact that those revenues, at least in the early years, that come to the government of Canada will be used for further research, for addiction treatment, for mental health resources and treatment, and for public education, because we all agree, and we heard when we visited states in the U.S. that have legalized, it's really important to get out and educate your public, especially your youth early, and to keep educating.
And how much money are we talking about? Is it in the billions of dollars?
Not initially, no, but I'm not going to speculate as to what the revenues might look like. People are still looking at estimates in terms of in the early years what usage rates might look like. You know, anywhere from 650,000 tons of product. Now people are talking about the fact it might be as much as 900,000 tons of product on an annual basis. So obviously the usage rates and the price will determine the taxes paid, both excise taxes and sales taxes.
Now, one big concern, and we've hinted at a few of them, one big concern that I've heard about personally is this idea that people might be getting into their cars and driving stoned. I spoke with a police officer in Smiths Falls, Ontario, earlier this year. It was right before the law passed. And here's some of my conversation with the officer, whose name was Aaron Tompkins.
The only thing that, in the policing perspective, is what we're looking at is being ready for it, right? For the driving and just like the impairedness, just being prepared.
In other words, how do you know if somebody is high when they're driving or not? How do you test for that?
Exactly.
That
sort of, so there are some field tests that we can do now, and they're training all the frontline officers to do it. But we need, to me, we need a better screening tool, almost like where you have the alcohol screening device. That's what we need.
A lot of people in my country where marijuana is legal, this is a major concern. A lot of people in your country, this is a major concern. What is being done to keep people safe on the roads?
Well, first of all, keep in mind, drug-impaired driving is a problem right now. The problem is not going to magically appear for the first time for law enforcement on October 17th. But having said that, absolutely, we as a task force heard a lot of concerns about drug-impaired driving, cannabis-impaired driving, and how you detect impairment. Because, of course, cannabis does not metabolize in the body the way alcohol does. But people should also remember that it we've had 40, 50 years' worth of experimentation to get to the point where we are today with alcohol in terms of having a roadside breathalyzer test that stands up in court. No question that there's a lot of research being done around trying to develop better tests. But I can assure you, police have tools now. They have the standard sobriety test, which is well known for alcohol and also for drugs. And the Government of Canada has approved an oral saliva test that officers will be provided with and they will be trained on. But nobody should underestimate the fact that this is a legitimate concern, just as it is right now.
Do you plan on using the drug on October
17th? Never have no intention. Now, when I say no intention, I'm of the boomer generation. I actually believe that you're going to see the growth in cannabis usage with my generation, with the boomer generation, for pain, for spasticity, going through cancer treatment. So I actually predict that 10 years out, your growth may be in with an older part of the Canadian population.
While I have you, I want to ask you about something. You, as we said, served as the former Deputy Prime Minister of Canada.
Yes.
Relations between your country and the United States are at a very low point right now in history. Justin Trudeau fighting with President Trump over tariffs, major questions about the future of NAFTA. What do you think about all this? Is the damage to that relationship going to be lasting?
No, I don't think so. There is no question that this is a difficult period of time. I think you can't believe all the headlines, at least in relation to NAFTA. I think Canadian negotiators, including the minister, Chrystia Freeland, working very hard on trying to get a good deal for all three countries.
You think they'll salvage a deal?
I do. I have no reason to believe that that won't happen. I also remind people that Congress has an important role to play here. I don't think people should get too wrapped up in following various people's Twitter feeds by, you know, the day or the hour.
Various people in air quotes.
Well, whatever. And I think these two countries have been through a lot together, and we will continue to work together and be respectful and be each other's best friends.
And who knows, maybe after October 17th, a little marijuana diplomacy.
Well, we haven't talked about the border. In fact, the whole question of how Canadians crossing the border into your country will be dealt with has returned as an important issue, because we are very aware that cannabis in whatever form remains illegal at the federal level in your country. And it's going to be very important to ensure that public education helps Canadians understand what the potential risks are at your border.
Anne McClellan, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
It's my pleasure.